Sam's Cast.
This program is the 7th grade global warming roundtable discussion with Dennis Larkin.
Good morning, Dr. Larkin. On behalf of the grade 7 students, we would like to thank you for taking the time to meet with us today with a very important issue, global warming. I would like to first start by having everybody introduce themselves. I will start. I'm Yvonne Shao.
I'm Stephanie Song.
I'm Tess Hanafi.
I'm Bruce Robertson.
I'm Doug Brownlee.
Mr. Robinson.
I'm Daniel Han.
John Tiffany.
Thank you.
I understand that Dr. Browning forwarded a document that we have been working on, which outlines some of the issues surrounding global warming in our school. Did you have any questions about the document, or are there things you want to have clarified?
No, I thought the document was pretty clear. I think that's what we're here to talk about today, right? Different aspects of it.
Yes. We have some questions that we would like to ask you, and Daniel Howe over there will start.
When could we remove paper cups from the school, and what needs to happen before we arrive at this point? And what do other international schools that do not have portable water do in this situation?
I think we are already addressing the paper cup issue. Both middle school and high school, different groups have approached their principals about the issue. My understanding is roots and shoots in the high school, and I think there's also roots and shoots in the middle school, but I don't know how good the communication has been between those two groups. The roots and shoots in the high school made a proposal to the administration for removal of paper cups in the high school at the beginning of next year and providing water bottles. What I asked, because they wanted to do the whole campus, and what I said is I like the high school to start as a pilot and implement that, and then work with middle school to bring them along, say, at the end of the first quarter, so that we can find out what some of the problems are with that change, and we can learn from that, so that when we do it at the middle school, then we do it even better. And then the whole issue of elementary school is a little more complex, because with younger children, there are concerns about sanitation and other things when kids start sharing water bottles and things like that. So it's a little harder. I'm not sure yet we're ready to go to elementary school. But the good news is we will be taking that action next year. The high school will begin, and then we see the middle school following on from there. Regarding your question about other schools, when I was in Saudi Arabia, we did what we're going to do next year. We had water bottles, and we asked kids to bring their own water bottles, and we educated kids about, you know, not sharing water bottles if you have a cold and all those kinds of things, and it worked fine, and I'm sure it will work fine here.
I have a question. How about setting up water bottles? Providing water bottles?
We haven't looked into that yet. That would be something I'd have to turn over to the business office. Again, in two other schools where I've been, water fountains didn't always provide the best solution, because you take on an awful lot of responsibility in terms of the safety of the water. So then you have to have people from the nurse's office or business, somebody has to be testing that water regularly to make sure it is safe. Now, both of those countries I'm thinking of were more third world countries, and the local water supply wasn't always reliable. And more often than not, we had to turn the water fountains off, and then there was no water. So I think where we are is probably at least what we'll do next year. And I don't really know if water fountains are a better solution, because I have not had us look into it here. So I'd have to do that. I'd have to get someone to do that for us.
I also have a question. Can we reduce the number of lights left on the corridors at night?
Absolutely. And in fact, we should be doing that. last January, SAS conducted what we called an energy summit. We didn't broadcast this widely to students yet, but we brought in energy experts from Europe, the US, and here in China to analyze all of our energy use. And they met over on the Pudong campus because we're starting over there because we're still building buildings. So there are things we can do to save energy at the way we build buildings. And so that's what we wanted their advice on. One of the things that came out of that was our board of directors has approved a new position, which is called the, he will be the chief plant engineer. And his name is Brad Knowles. He's coming, he's actually an Australian citizen, but he's coming from Malaysia and Qatar, and he's worked in China, very international person. And it will be his particular responsibility to develop energy-saving measures for both campuses as we move ahead. So the school has taken, I think, a very systematic look at how we're using energy. We have an energy audit from both campuses. We've hired someone who's going to come in to help us improve our performance for two reasons. Number one, it is environmentally responsible. Number two, it will save us money. And so those are two very good reasons, and we expect to see improved energy performance over the next 2 to 3 years. It won't happen automatically. But some of the suggestions were installing sensors. So if there's no one in the hallway, the light will go off. But when you walk in the hallway, the light will come on. The problem is to transfer over our current operations to that type of automated system costs us a lot of money. So we have to invest some money now to earn money back. And we cannot do it all in 1 year because it would just be too expensive and the tuition would go out of sight. So rather, what we're doing is we're developing a 3 or 4 year plan, and we're focusing right now on the new buildings that we're building, that they will be more energy efficient. And then we're going to do some retrofitting over the summer with insulation to reduce both heat and cooling loss, and we expect that's going to reduce quite a bit of the energy we use. And then the more complicated things like lighting systems, etc., we're going to have to do building by building over a period of time. So we have a plan in mind, and we're going to try and develop it even better next year. So we are working on it. That should make you happy, right?
I have a question here.
Yes.
How can we educate the whole entire school community, including parents, IEs, and guards, about this problem so that they are motivated to reduce activities, such as using electricity, that contribute to the problem? As part of this education, would it be possible for global warming to be part of the required curriculum for all students?
It's a very good, comprehensive question. Anytime you're trying to educate people to any set of information, you have to have lots of different ways to do it. I would be surprised if global warming isn't part of our science curriculum, but maybe it isn't as intentional as it needs to be. So one strategy we need to look at, and I think this would be the responsibility of your teachers, as we're doing our curriculum studies and curriculum reviews, making sure that global warming is a priority content area at certain grade levels throughout the curriculum. I think that's one way you do it. A second way you do it, when you talk about the whole community now, you know, parents are coming to seventh grade science class. How will we educate parents? Again, we need some different strategies. We need, there can be special events that students plan and host that parents can come in and be involved in. You could do a science fair that's totally around global warming. Therefore, every kid who participates in science fair, their parents are going to be involved at home. You know how that is. And then parents are learning along with you. I'm just making things up. But I think as students and teachers together, you can think of some creative ways to draw attention to this issue, which is a very important issue. The school can do a better job. Certainly part of what Mr. Knowles' job as plant engineer will be next year is to raise awareness. I mean, I would see him sitting down with people like you next year because he knows a lot more about it than I do in terms of the specifics of what we can do. So you have to have a lot of strategies and ways to go about it. And of course, the challenge is we have a very full curriculum. We have a very full school. We have all kinds of activities are happening all the time. So how do you compete to get attention? I don't mean you. I mean the issue. How do we help the issue of global warming get the level of attention it needs? There's only one way. That's people like yourselves sitting down and being determined and saying, we're going to think up some ways to do this, and then getting involved with your teachers, with your parents, and the administration so that we can do that.
Okay, next. Can we change our bus sizes to be the appropriate size for the amount of students riding the bus?
Now, this is another very good question. I'm happy to say, again, our school is out in front on this. We have, one of the things I asked for as soon as I got here was analysis of that. However, change takes time. Next year, we'll be implementing a new transportation system. We brought somebody in, again, from Singapore to manage our bus program. And the primary reason for that was twofold. I was concerned about safety of the equipment, and then also the efficiency, which is what you're talking about. You know, we all watch, and the bus comes in with four kids on it. It's a 28-seat bus or whatever. The availability of the bus, under our current arrangement, is we lease our buses from another company. And that company doesn't just do schools. That company does all kinds of tourist things in China. And so he makes available to us the buses that, for him, work most efficiently. So if he needs smaller buses for other things where he makes a higher profit, that's where his smaller buses goes, and he gives us the bigger bus, which is less efficient. But overall, for his business, it makes more profit for him.
So
let me finish, and then you can ask me, okay? What we're hoping to do next year is we will have our own, the school will not own it, but we'll have a joint partnership with a bus management company and a joint venture with the bus management company. We'll have a joint venture with a bus transportation. We want them to build new buses for us. We will try to match up as best we can more efficient routes and more efficient use of buses. But what goes along with that? I'm predicting this now. You all write this down, okay? This is my prediction. Because people are going to complain if it isn't as convenient for them as it is right now. So we can save money, we can save gas, we can help global warming by changing our bus routes. But if you have to get out of bed 10 minutes earlier and walk three blocks or, you know, whatever it is, you might not like that. And that's the tension that we're going to pay. And that's the whole, in a nutshell, that's the issue for global warming and the human population. What are we willing to give up? You know, are we willing to give up air-conditioned offices so we don't use air cons anymore? No, we're comfortable in that. So next year, we are trying to address the bus issue, and we're going to be better. And I'm telling you, people are going to be complaining because it won't be quite as easy for them as it is now. Now, sorry, you had another question you wanted to ask me.
No, what do you mean by when the company leases you buses that are most efficient for schools? Does that mean you're not able to lease smaller buses, or is it?
We don't have control over the buses right now that are assigned to us. I mean, we talk about it and we make requests. But at the end of the day, we don't own the buses. The bus company does. And he's running a business that's not just SAS. He's running a transportation business all around Shanghai. And so our requests get factored into his total picture. Whereas next year, what we're working towards, if all goes well this summer, is we will have a designated fleet of buses that will be for us. And that should help us. So again, another one of those problems we are addressing, and it's taken us almost 2 years to get to this point. And we'll see how it goes next year. I'm sure there'll be some things we can improve.
Okay, another question. We have suggested that we install the black solar water heating pipes at the Pushi swimming pool to reduce the use of electricity, reduce greenhouse gases, which would also save money. What do you think of this idea? Could this idea be incorporated into the construction of the Pudong swimming pool?
Again, excellent questions. And I am not an energy expert. So what I'm going to have to do is we have talked about that, and that's where hiring an expert to be on our staff next year will help us determine that. The issue over the aquatic center here is, again, it's one of those desirability things. The temperature of the pool is kept at what is an accepted sort of international standard for people to swim comfortably. And we have to heat the water much of the year so that, you know, you can swim comfortably. And we place that at the standard that the International Swim Organization suggests. Now, if we install solar panels, how many solar panels do we have to install to make sure we keep it at that level? Or are we willing to drop it 2 degrees? You know, it's that type of thing that it's a very good idea, but it takes a lot of study and engineering to figure out before we can make it happen. Also, your point's well taken, it will be considered as we look at the continued build out of the Hudong campus, because we've made a commitment to being energy efficient in the rest of our build out. I just don't know the answer. I don't know the answer right now, but I can tell you it is being studied.
Okay, last question. A number of the short-term recommendations such as reducing our electricity consumption will save the school money. Would it be possible to use this money to install long-term recommendations such as solar panels? If we do not raise enough money for projects such as these, will the school help with the funds?
The answer is yes, yes, and yes. The school has made a commitment as of this year to reduce energy costs. And we know that in order to do that, and solar panels is one piece, we know that in order to do that, we have to invest money in our physical plant. Like I gave you the example of the sensors. Here's another convenience factor for you guys to think about, and you can help us as you talk to your friends. One of the things that we have to do is move to a management system that we can adjust temperature in rooms centrally, and the individuals in the room can no longer adjust the temperature. If you go downtown to the Hyatt Hotel or one of these big office buildings, that's how they're run. And people sit in front of very complex computer systems, and they allocate airflow to different sections of the building based on its use. So if we know, for example, middle school is going to have an assembly at the end of the day on Wednesday, then we could shut down aircon, say, 30 minutes before that assembly in all the middle school, because you're going to be over here, because we need to transfer that power over here, because we've got to have aircon in here. What we're doing now is we're putting aircon everywhere. So there are a lot of very sophisticated systems we can use, but they do cost money. Our biggest energy consumers are heating and aircon. Those are our biggest energy consumers. The next one is lighting. While the solar panels will help, I mean, that is a literally drop in the pool compared to the energy consumption we use. And so what we have to do is be really smart about where we get the most bang for our buck. And right now, what we're focusing on is the bang for our buck will come from managing better heating and cooling and lighting. And that's what we're prioritizing. Well, sorry, and construction. For example, the new high school building in Pudong right now, we have insulated, I think the report I saw the other day was probably 3 times more than the standard here, because we can do it, because we're building the building now. So instead of just putting down a concrete floor, underneath that concrete floor, we put in layers of insulation. And then we poured the concrete. So the cold from the ground isn't going to come up. Therefore, we won't need as much heat to heat the room. We're doing the same thing with the walls. We're doing the same thing with using different types of windows. So all of those things are now part of our thinking and planning. And absolutely, money that we are able to save by reducing cost, as long as, I think in the next 3 years, that money will be recycled into, or not recycled, be reallocated into continuing our energy saving program. So the good news is I was happy when I read all of your questions, not only because they're really excellent questions, but I can honestly say to you, we are addressing these things at our school. And I'm proud of that. Not a lot of people know that, but we put a lot of work into it. Like I said, we brought in experts from around the world. They were here for a week last February to take a look at our program. We probably should advertise that more so people know that we're doing that. And that's what Mr. Knowles will be able to do when he comes next year, working with you and the committee on that.
Do you guys have any other questions?
Any other questions or comments?
What if we do not save enough money by saving lights and energy? The school is all separate.
Yes. The way we'll do, the question is, would we, if I can tell you right now, we cannot fully fund the energy saving we want to do by the energy we save. That's a false goal. We have to invest money with the understanding that if we invest that money now, we're saving energy costs for the next forever. You know, if we put in motion sensors now, then our lighting system, the next 20 years, is going to cost less than if we do nothing. But in the short term, those reductions won't pay for what we're investing. In the business, they have what they call ROI, return on investment. And everything we've been doing, we have a guess at how long it will take us. So if it costs us, I'll make this up. Let's say it costs us $100 to change the lighting in this room. And we know that changing the lighting in this room will save us $10 a month. How many months does it take before we break even?
10 months.
So our return on investment, in that case, is one school year. We'd do that one quickly because we know we get a payback. But we get the payback not just for that year, but for every year thereafter. And so that's how we factor it. So we are looking at return on investment. But it won't be enough. With the school capital budget, plant and facilities, maintenance and repair, we have to budget for more efficient energy measures. And we will. To answer your question, we will.
It is our hope that some of the ideas we have discussed here today will come to life at Shanghai American School. Once again, we would like to thank you for taking the time to meet with us.
You have a question or? Thank you. There is hope. There is hope. Thank you very much.
Dr. Larkin, would it be okay if we got a couple pictures with you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, I have to tell you guys, I've been really impressed with. I've been somewhat distant, but sort of following some of the things you've been doing online in your study, I think it's fabulous. And if you really stay with this, and it's not just a passing fancy for you, you know, you can help us get kids aware and teachers aware. And, I mean, some of your things on recycling, there's no reason we can't do better, but we have to make it as a goal. When I was elementary principal in Manila, the Philippines, we did an energy conservation plan in the elementary school. And we only had one target, which was turn off the lights when you leave the room. We had little stickers on the lights, and kids had little stickers on their shirts. And in 1 year, we reduced our energy costs $20,000 by turning off the lights when we weren't in the room. And then the board made a commitment then that half of that money was given back to the elementary school, and the kids, we bought books to the library. So there are lots of things we can do, but we have to really stick to it.
Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
By the people, for the people.
Woo! Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
Sam's Cast.
By the people, for the people.
Sam's Cast.